We're back. Coast to Coast AM. Happy New Year. Connie Willis here. It is 2022. I've been talking for two straight days, by the way. Mel Scahan is our guest tonight. He's been interested in the forest people and learned all about them growing up as a child, living on the Yakima Reservation, and then working with the forestry department as well. And he has been giving us some insights that he's learned along the way. And he's got a great account that has happened that he's going to be telling us as well. And that will be talking about mutual respect that he came to find out. So, Mel, just quickly, you were talking about beddings. And is there, like, I love going out in the snow because I think you see more. Did that make a difference in finding beddings or any nestings with you?
Yeah, you know, going out in the wintertime, you have a better chance of, you know, finding a track line of some sort of them. And then, you know, if you follow them enough, you know, some of them just up and disappear and you don't find the tracks anymore. But if you find what's unique in some areas working year round, especially in the winter, when you follow the track lines of one or a family unit, you come across, I described foliage that they use to construct their beds, but they also do it in the wintertime. And what they do in the wintertime is that they clear out an area. There could be 2 feet of snow there, and they'll push all that snow aside and create this berm of the snow that they've pushed out. And my very first one that I've located, it was so fascinating and unique that I came closer to them at that point, because what happened was is that when I saw all the tracks and then I located this special spot, they cleared out that snow down to the vegetation, and they lived in that, they laid in that, and they laid up on the berm of the snow around this clearing. And I, you know, when I found it, I ran my hands down, and you know, the body heat, you know, on the edges, you know, you could feel each individual hair of them as their body heat, you know, melted or iced up the snow. And I mean, you talk about a special event. I mean, they, you know, in the wintertime, they also create these types of bedding areas. And that's one thing that I wanted to get across as well, is that you can find them year round.
That is, you know, just real quick before you do your story, here's one of my questions that I've always had. To me, they're so intelligent that I believe that there's no way that this is my theory for today, right? It changes as you learn more, right? Never stick right to it, but but they're so intelligent. They're highly advanced. There's no doubt in my mind. And I just think that they wouldn't live in the elements, that they are smart enough to get in out of the rain. So I think, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's interdimensional. I don't know if they go underground. But is there something to what I'm saying, or do you feel like, no, they're in the elements and on the surface?
You know, they like all other wildlife or animals, they the deeper the snow, unless you're small critters like squirrels and everything else that live in the area, but you know, the deer, the elk, the moose, you know, once a snow reaches a certain depth, they have to come down out of that area. You know, all of their foods that they thrive on the other parts of the year are buried, and they can't get to them, so they have to move down. And it's the same way with the big people, is that they have to move down as well, because, you know, your feet can only take you for so far before you're post-holing into deeper snow. And I've seen that, so I've seen them move down into the lower elevations towards the Yakima Valley, the lower Yakima Valley, as the snows got deeper.
So you're saying, no, they're on the surface, Connie. They live on the surface. That's
well. See, over my years being out there, that's what I've seen. I mean, I'm not saying that you know they're not interdimensional or anything. I followed tracks to a point where they were gone. I couldn't find them anymore. I mean, what am I to think? What happened here? Did they break a branch off and then all of a sudden start wiping their tracks away?
I know. It's crazy. I know. And then our buddy, Mike Patterson, right? Sasquatch Ontario. He's like, you know, these footprints will just appear. And, you know, they might walk for a little bit or not, and then they're gone again. But he notices something, which is really cool. He's like, when you first see them, there's mud and dirt. And then, you know, it goes away as they keep walking. So he's like, wherever they are, they've got dirty feet. It's dirty on the bottom. I found that interesting little fact, too. So, Mel, let's hear your story.
Oh, boy, you know, every time. I share this, and I've shared it with a couple of different folks, and every time I tell it, I get very emotional because this, you know, we all start out at a certain point. That certain point is some type of sound, some type of encounter that we've had, and we want to go deeper with it. And you get to the point as from that initial shock, and then wanting more info, and then that info keeps going and going, and then you buy the equipment, you go on expeditions, you meet a lot of people, and you find the similarities of everything that you've come across yourself. That's the path that I was on. And I was at that point where I bought the equipment. I was out in groups, and I was sharing my information, because that's what, as the community grows and develops further on, that's what everybody prior to me did. They shared that information, and they everybody wants to know more. And what I'm going to share here, I hope, is passed on to the respect, because we can't go out there anymore and harass. And that's what I call is harassing, by wood knocking, by going out there and being obnoxious and trying to call them in. Because what we learn over the years is that they know we're there. They know we're repeated humans in certain areas because they've marked those territories. They've marked the lookout towers. They marked the cabins. They marked the roads. They've marked everywhere human activity is. So they're onto us. And so we just got to respect them now as who they are, and take this to the next level of some type of better communication with them. And the only way you're going to, and the way I always put this is that when you go see a neighbor, you're new to a neighborhood, and you want to visit your neighbors, you don't go in there and start pooping and hollering and partying and blah, 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 blah. You're sending a negative message. And that's the thing that we have done in their world, is that we sent out this negative message now that, okay, maybe we've had enough. We know you're there. So that's one thing that where this story is going is in my history of being a skeptic, to knowing about them, to being a researcher, and then finally being the respectful person that we're supposed to be to them. And years ago, working for the Yakima Nation, I've described that I walk in areas where there's no roads. I walk in areas that hardly a lot of people can get to. But because of my job, I have to collect this data in these areas. And while collecting tree data, vegetation data in these areas, there were three of us that were working. And we were working on this hill, north-facing hillside, and over to my right, I noticed something that was odd about this certain spot. And so I walked over there, and then as I got closer, I still couldn't figure out what this was. And then as I got on next to it, on top of it, I'm on 70% slope. So the down, you know, it's a real steep slope. And there's this what looked like a large bird's nest that was constructed, and the nest had a down woody log incorporated into it. The log was facing straight downhill, so it was like it built this nest, and it used this down woody soft log as like an armrest. And as I'm looking at this construction, the lower end is about 2.5 to 3 feet tall. The upper part of the slope is less than a foot tall, so it's level. I mean level. And so as I'm going through this, I'm looking at it, and everything is woven together. And then you could see, as I described earlier, that these branches have been pulled out straight out of the trees, and there's no tails to them or anything, but it took all these branches and it wove layers built this up. And then I started, as I was going through it, and I sat in it and looked down, and I figured out that it was using that as a post to look down at a lower road where how we drove into the area. And perfectly hidden from the road, you couldn't see it from down below. It was partially hidden in a group of trees. And so as I'm going through this, I started seeing what looked like fine hairs in it. And so I pulled a couple of them out, and I looked at them and everything, and then put them on the down woody log. And I looked at the woody log, and I pulled some more hairs out of there. And I showed it to my coworkers, and, you know, we were just amazed by who built this, and ran through a bunch of different scenarios about who built it, why he built it, and should we be even here? And so I collected the hairs, and I had some paper with me, so I created this envelope, and I put, is when you collect the hairs and everything, you put them in something where they're going to not disintegrate or not be compromised. And because at one point I thought about sending these hairs off to be analyzed, and so I collected them, and then we continued our work day, and then got home. Word got out that I had about the nest that we found, and about the hairs that I collected. And, you know, it was a novelty thing for a while. People would come to my work desk and talk to me about it and want to see them and say, well, when are you going to get them tested? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I don't need to have these tested because I know what they are. I knew what built that. I knew that one of our forest people had built that for either, a spot to overlook so that he can let his family or his unit know that, you know, hey, all the trucks that drove into this area, they're gone now. And so we can move around, be safe and everything like that. And then if we have to, we'll leave somebody here at this post to keep an eye on. So after years of collecting, after years I had collected these hairs, they were deep in my desk someplace, and then just completely forgot about them. And I had attended a house cleansing ceremony. There was a spirit in a house that was really strong, creating a lot of negative energy to the family, and especially to the child in this house. And they tried different ways of getting this spirit out of the house, and they couldn't do it. So what they ended up doing was a family member had contacted somebody from the Midwest, and he was known to come out to the Pacific Northwest with his family to assist in situations like this. If somebody couldn't live or coexist in the same house, then, you know, then he would come out and then use his ceremony to help folks out. And what had happened was is that the night that he showed up, his instructions were that there could be no outside light. So we took plastic and we covered all the windows inside the house to make it completely dark because there was outside lighting from the street. And then everybody that was invited into the house was asked to be participants in this ceremony. And this there was about 20 people inside, and there were three of them, the family, the shaman, the medicine man, and his wife and his son. And
Mel, I'm gonna stop you right now because I know we're gonna take a break. I don't want to get you right at a point where, you know, I can stop you. Where we're at in the story is you had all these hairs, and then you're now at a house that needs cleansing. And as you build that up, we'll take our break. We'll come back. We'll start from there so that you have a good point without, you know, breaking it in the middle of something else. So Mel Skahan with us and his account of mutual respect with the Bigfoot and carrying that in to inspire you in 2022. So stay with us. I think you'll enjoy the rest of this as well. Connie Willis here. Happy New Year. It is 2022, and you are listening to Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM. Happy New Year 2022. Connie Willis with you, and we are talking with Mel Skahan, who is right in the middle of his story to pass on to 2022, the mutual respect he had found. Now, Mel, make sure I got this right to set you back up again. You'd found some hairs in a nest, held on to those for a while. Now we're at a place where you're at a house, and they're working to get a spirit out, and there's like 20 some odd people there.
Yes. There's what we call witnesses there to assist with the this cleansing.
Okay, it's all yours.
Okay. So after everybody was invited, we removed the furniture from the house, from the living room area. During something of an event like this, where on the reservation, the guests are paid. They're paid in a dinner or a lunch, depending on the time of day, and also with gifts from the people that are putting this event on. So you're paid as a witness with gifts. And this shaman went on to explain to us that if anybody was going to be afraid of the dark, that they would need to leave, because not only were the windows completely blackened out with the power was going to be cut off at the breaker box, so no, the energy couldn't draw power from the house. So we would be sitting in complete darkness on the floor. And again, he would be on one side of the room, and then we were surrounding the rest of the living room with the food and the gifts in the center. So the power was cut. We had to wait for all the lights to dim, and then the ceremony started. And again, we're sitting in pitch black. You could put your hand centimeters away from your face and you couldn't see it. But as he explained during this, is that what's going to happen is here is that we're not going to force this spirit out. We're going to help draw the spirits around the house in to help guide the spirit out that's in the house, the negative spirit. And we could have visits from past relatives, friends that may come up to us and try to make contact. And don't be alarmed. It's part of the ceremony. They just will probably want to make contact with you to let you know that they're okay, or to stop by and say hello. So those instructions were given. So the first song started, and again, this is a drum ceremony, and you can't see anything, and the song begins, and the gentleman is singing and drumming, and then as that song ends, the next one begins. And when this next song began, it was a different pitch. It was a higher pitch, different from the first song. So these songs had a progression to it. And as he started the second song, a weird sensation started happening to me. And I felt sound. I felt vibration, not from gentleman, but from his end. And it was like a wave of vibration that came towards me. And as it started on that side of the room, I could feel it advancing towards me. And then the vibration, like a wave, started going underneath me. And I'm on the floor, pitch black, and this vibration is directly underneath me on the floor. And then it leaves the floor, and I'm sitting right against the wall, and the vibration goes up into the wall, down into the lower back, and then up the mid back, and then finally dissipating up into the ceiling. And then that vibration that was gone. And then the song had ended, and I turned to the person to my left, and I asked him if the floor was vibrating. And they told me yes. And I was like, oh, good, because I thought it was just me. But the people were all experiencing this, but we wouldn't know until later on. But that second song caused that vibration and to guide, I guess, to help move things along in the progression of what was going to happen next. So this next song that he started was a much... not as high, but the vocalizations were different. And it was louder. And as this is going on, you could feel the beat of the drum going through your body. And he would sing and drum and drum. And then in the back of the house, I hear something. And I'm not quite hearing it as clear because of the drumming and his singing. But I hear this. And immediately go, I know that sound. I've heard that sound before. And so as this song is going, I go, in my thought, in my brain, in my head, I said, if you are who I think you are, you'll whoop again. And then I heard this. And I was like, oh, no. I know who you are. Now, taking the fact that the spirit that's in the house is not a Bigfoot spirit. This is a spirit that is vocalizing or making itself known to me. Like the gentleman said, you'll have things come to you that somebody is going to try to make contact with you. And so as he's drumming and singing and loud, and it's loud, I can hear it walking down the hallway. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. Here he comes. And as he's walking down the hallway, as he gets into the living room area, then he vocalizes. And I hear this. And he's doing this. And I'm like, is anybody else hearing this? I'm saying this to myself. And then he starts jumping. He starts dancing to the beat of the drum. And he's doing this right in front of me, right in front of me. And I was like, he's destroying everything in the center, the food, the offering, the gifts for the people. And the drum is going and he's singing. And this Bigfoot, his Sasquatch, is not only vocalizing, but he's dancing to the drum. Boom, boom. And he's doing this and doing this through the whole song. And I'm like, I could feel the vibration underneath me as he's jumping. And then as the song is ending, he's moving back and he's not jumping anymore, but he's and I can hear him walking back into the back room down the hallway. Boom, boom, boom. And then when the song ended, I couldn't hear him anymore. He was gone. And then the final calming song had come on, and that was finished. It was quiet. People I could hear whispering around me. And he said, "We are done. This is done." And he instructed his son to go back and turn the power back on. And the lights came on, and everybody was around me and talking and whispering to each other. And then everything in the center of the room was intact. Nothing was broken. Nothing was destroyed. And I'm thinking, how is this possible? How is this possible that something like that came into this room, jumping, screaming, dancing in front of me, and nothing is disturbed? And so I'm talking to the person next to me, and she goes, "Why did you touch me?" And I was like, I didn't touch you. I was sitting here with my arms crossed, and I kept to myself. And, you know, she said that something had whispered to her, and I was like, it wasn't me. But I can hear everybody else talking as well. And so after a bit, after everybody, you know, got their wits back about them about this event, and he started going around the room saying, "Hey, you had so-and-so visit you. You had so-and-so, and you had, your brother." And he started going around the room about the different spirits that were there. And then he got to me, and then he goes, you, on the other hand, have something attached to you that you shouldn't have. You collected something, and you collected it, and it wants it back." And somebody I didn't know off to my left goes, "He's got hair." And I was like, "Wow." And I go, "Well, I do have hair." And somebody said, "Well, he hunts Sasquatch." And I was like, "I don't hunt Sasquatch." And he goes, "Well, you need to see me after this, because we need to clear up what's going on with your life." And so after the ceremony was done, I went back and I talked to him privately. And he told me that once I tell you everything that has happened to you and let you know the ways of the big people, the forest people, you'll have the most utmost respect of what he was trying to do for you here. And then once this is shared, you will not be ignorant in the ways as you move forward in your life with them, and that this ceremony will correct everything that has you guys have wronged each other. And when you do this ceremony, you can't tell anybody when, and you just get in your car, you go back out to the spot, and you do these three steps. So it took me a while to collect everything. And when I did have all the items, I just jumped in my car one day and then walked out of the house, drove to the site where I collected the hairs, walked down the hill, and performed this ceremony that he wanted me to. And after presenting the hairs back to him, I thought I was done. Well, I was done. But I took, and I wasn't told to do this. I just did this on this last thing on my own. When I put the hairs down and started packing up, I stood up and I thought projected out. I go, "I've done everything that I'm supposed to do here. I hope I've done the correct thing, returning what I've taken from you, and that everything between us is cleared up. And after I had said that, just a few seconds after that, and this is about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, down below me, I got this, whoa! That vocalization was loud and clear. Excellent. And long, and only one thing could have done it. And after that was done, I said to her, I don't want to speak Sasquatch, but I'm going to take that as a yes, that everything between us is good. And I packed up, walked back to my car, and rejoined civilization after that. And ever since then, I've had the utmost respect and the spiritual connection with them, that everything that I've done after has been for nobody else. It's just me out there enjoying them, and then enjoying the interactions that I've had with them. I've never had a negative interaction with them, and I haven't had a negative interaction since. And so when I continue to go out now, I don't do the things that I used to do in the past. And that's with this story. I hope that people understand who they are and their capabilities, and that when we go forth after hearing stories like this, that we understand who they are.
Mel Skahan, thank you so much, Mel. I really appreciate that. Respect in 2022, and feel your emotions. Christian Gillespie talking about that earlier. Thank you again to our guests. And hey, if you like the show, let us know. Write in and say something good. We like that. We like that. From the foothills of the Colorado Rockies, many thanks to Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Tommy Danheiser, Dan Galani, Stephanie Smith, Mike Cosio, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Tim Banal, Gina Salvati, Donna Walker, Penny Girl, Adam Thompson, Jeremiah Harris, Greg Foster, Ryan Stacy, Chris Burles, Ian Punnett, Lisa Garr, Richard Sirrett, George Knapp, and of course, George Norrie. Also, thank you very much. We really appreciate you being here. Until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange at Blue Rock Talk, ConnieWillis.com, and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis. Happy New Year. Happy 2022.